Hello, I'm Dan Juergen, Vice Chairman of IHS Market, and I want to welcome you to a CERAWeek conversation presented by IHS Market. And we're very pleased today to welcome Juan Zull, who is the CEO of Petronas. Petronas is one of the 200 largest corporations in the world. It's the national oil company of Malaysia, but it's also a global integrated company that operates in 35 countries. Juan Zull has been a 37-year veteran of Petronas, worked throughout the company. He's now, as I said, CEO. Soon he's going to become chairman of Malaysia Airlines. And we're going to talk today about operating in this era of crises, about Asian and global energy markets, about preparing a global oil and gas company for the energy transition. So we have a lot to talk about. And Juan Zull, let me welcome you very much to this CERAWeek conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. Good morning or good evening, wherever you are. It's a pleasure to be here today. I've always enjoyed the many conversations we have had over the years, both on and off stage. And thank you for having me on the CERAWeek conversations.
Well, thank you. We'd very much look forward to having you at CERAWeek in Houston, but that was not to be. So I'm very glad to have you at this CERAWeek conversation. But let's start where we are today with how's the company dealt with the crisis of COVID-19? How's it changed your operations?
Well, Dan, I think, some years back, we had this SARS in the region. So that has kind of prepared us for some of our business continuity programs. And essentially the first thing that we did, this was as early as middle of January, we set up our Petronas pandemic response team. So, as all the organizations in the industry, the health and safety of our employees, contractors, customers, and other stakeholders are paramount. So that was the first thing that we did when the SARS hit us in middle of January in Malaysia. And there were other things that was introduced. I think we also had to evacuate many of our staff from some of the overseas location where we felt the health infrastructure may not be sufficient. So we evacuated many of our employees, close to 1,000 of them, including some family members. So that was one of the first few steps that we did. There were other things as well. Working from home, that was introduced very early in March. And we were very fortunate that we had this IT infrastructure to support all our operations. And even until today, many of us are still working from home, and we've got rotations in terms of groups that comes to office and the other group stays behind as part of our risk mitigation. We also, as everybody know that, this is a confluence of both on the supply side as well as the markets. So it is a very unique a set of challenges that many companies like ourselves face. So this, I think the first thing we did was to optimize our value chain. And this is where, when demands collapse, our inventories were coming up, logistics were affected, customers were not taking products, and essentially we had issues on all fronts. And this is also where we adopted the philosophy of you produce only what you can sell. So being an integrated company, so that was one of the first few things that we did. There were some ad hoc task forces that were set up. Mainly what I like to share is we had three task force that were set up, multi-business with legal, comms, HSC. The first one was what we call as the corporate control center. And this was essentially looking at optimizing our value chain and other HSC issues. The second one was to look at our liquidity, at our cash. Yes. So I think that is a very important task force. And the third one is what we call a PETRONAS fast forward. This is to look at what happens after this episode.
So I want to go to that in just a second, but clearly this experience with SARS, although it was not as widespread as COVID-19, kind of got you into a frame of mind to be ready for a pandemic in a way that people in the other parts of the world really weren't ready.
We are now better prepared. I think our business continuity plans were better prepared. No doubt SARS did not hit us to the extent that this time, you know, compared to this time around. But I think there were procedures in place, and we had our BCPs being tested before this, so that actually really helped PETRONAS this time around. So in a way, it was we were better prepared as compared to some years ago.
Right. So now, as you said, the third task force is going forward. How are you preparing for the new normal, and what's your expectation for the new normal?
I think some changes are here to stay. You know, the way customers will behave in the future will be very different. And also, for instance, the way the workforce, our staff, expectation of the works of our workforce, I think will also be very different as compared to before this crisis. So there are some things that, you know, the task force is looking at. For instance, how would the new business model be? For instance, they are also charged to answer questions like, what more innovations that we can introduce into the business? And maybe a big portion would be, how would be the workforce, our own workforce, you know, what kind of leadership traits will be very important going forward? Those are some of the things.
What are you thinking on the leadership front?
My view is, traditionally, for instance, management visibility is so important. And in the past, I've been with the company for a long time. So in the past, visiting sites, talking face to face with the staff. I mean, this is part of our job. But going forward, I think a lot of, like what we're doing today, a lot of online interactions. We need to think what kind of leadership attributes, for instance, would be really important 15, 20 years down the road. And this is something that we must think today, because I think the complexion of the DNA of the organization will also be very, very different.
Well, I was thinking that really you came into the job in 2016 in the midst of a crisis, and now another crisis, which is even bigger than the crisis that time, and maybe ask you to reflect a little more on how the industry's changed and how you think it will change.
I assumed this position in 2015, just when oil prices were sliding down. So at that point in time, I think we did a few things. In terms of short term, we looked at our cash. So cash generation was the thing. Secondly, we look at our costs. What are the other things? And we really cut our cost structure. It's a different base now as compared to 2015. We look at how we were delivering projects. So I think those were some of the short-term measures that we instinctively took when 2015 hit us. And then in the longer term, we also look at how we develop our talents and how we are using technology in the company. And very importantly, I spend, and my leadership team spends a lot of time, and we invest quite a bit in terms of the culture of the company. So, while I believe that we can make changes, but if these changes are meant to be sustainable, I think the culture is a very, very important piece. So those were some of the areas that we looked at in 2015. And I think this time around, we have a more resilient organization facing the crisis this time around. And one more very important thing is this collaboration. A lot of collaboration in 2015 and 2016 were with all the stakeholders, you know, our service providers, our customers, you know, so as an industry, at least I'm talking in Malaysia, I think we have managed to really increase the efficiency in terms of cost when 2015, 2016 hit us.
And this crisis, as you say, is going to bring further changes. One of it is, as you say, how much more digital the industry will become.
Yes. So back in 2017, before that, we had many digital initiatives being done in isolation throughout the organization. So in 2017, I formed a digital, in fact, we created a chief digital officer in 2017, very early in 2017. So now I think one of the ambition and one of the top agenda for the leadership team is really to transform PETRONAS into a digital enabled organization. We have our own data academy. We generate and we convert our staff into data scientists. And so these are some of the things that what comes to mind on this digital transformation is also a lot on behaviors of the staff to make it a success. So not only on the infrastructure, but also on the soft side, on how people think, how people share data, and how people behave. I think those are key prerequisites for any organization to really move on their digital journey.
So, and this, I guess, this current crisis, as you say, both on the supply and the demand side, has maybe accelerated digitalization at a greater speed than would have necessarily been expected without the crisis.
Indeed. I think, like they say, never waste a crisis. Right. And you know, this is a very opportune time where we really and now you know across the organization, everybody has got tools like this, like what we are using, and a lot more collaboration. In fact, I found that also during the lockdown period, you know, I've reached out to even more CEOs in the industry than what I used to when things were normal before the crisis.
When you had to get on an airplane and fly there and take 2 days to get there, now you can do it, you know, just by going online.
And that's why our aviation fuel demand dropped by more than 90% for PETRONAS.
Well, let's use that as a pivot then. We've been talking about structure and culture. Let's talk about the markets for a second, a little bit about how you think the oil market and the gas market, but let's start with the oil market, how it's changed both globally and in particular, how you see the Asian markets.
Well, I think Asia remains to drive the growth in demand. And of course, you know, we really had a collapse this past few months, but we are seeing signs of opening up of the economies. I mean, locally in Malaysia, we've started to open up and with a lot of SOPs that everyone has got to follow. But I feel that, you know, the recovery is fragile. I think we have got to be very cautious about what's taking place because, you know, another outbreak would really impede this trajectory of recovery that we are seeing, at least in Asia and in Southeast Asia predominantly. So, For the LNG, is also a scattered growth in the region. And I think for this region, I'm more familiar with this part of the world. For this region, I think the issue of this energy trilemma is very profound now. You know, the question on security, affordability, and sustainability. I think here, the affordability portion is very important. you see different countries at different levels of affordability. And also when you have this episode of this COVID episode, I think it affects also the disposable income of many, a big portion of the population. So now affordability has become a key priority for many governments. So I think all these factors will come into play, and I think they'll be very important on how we see the recovery trajectory in this part of the world.
So on LNG, do you have a clear view yet or a clear sense of if you take a five-year perspective, what LNG outlook for Asia is? I mean, it's obviously been seen as the growth area.
You know, I think for companies like us, we are pretty big on LNG. I think 70% of our portfolio is gas. But you know, for any company to be successful, because the market is not so homogeneous, I think we have companies will have got to be very clever in terms of coming up with solutions for each individual customer. Because, you know, the cost to serve a Shanghai customer is very different from the cost to serve from a remote island in Indonesia. So I think this tailoring of the solutions will be a key success factor for companies like us.
Right. Do you see, I mean, right now there's a lot of capacity and we see it overcapacity reflected in the prices. Do you see 5 years from now enough capacity?
It's very difficult to predict the future, but right. But we all know that, you know, there's overcapacity this few years. And you know, we have this herd mentality and also financial consideration that, you know, many companies are pulling back on FIDs. But I think it will have an impact. It will have an impact on pricing, maybe 5-7 years down the road. But it's always a very difficult balance of considerations where company can decide to invest in periods of overcapacity. But we take the long-term view that, you know, oil and gas will still be the main contributor under the many scenarios that we've run. And also with the IEA reports on the various scenarios, you know, at least 50% of the fuel demand will be provided by oil and gas. And within that, you know, we are strong advocates of gas because it is the cleanest fossil fuel.
Right. Now, you're in an interesting position. I'm sure you're sort of thinking more about jet fuel than you used to. And is that going to be the sector that's the slowest to recover, do you think?
I think so. I think that sector, there's a lot of overcapacity in the aviation sector. I think a lot of consolidation has to take place because there are many players, and I'm talking about regional. I'm talking about more in the Malaysian and Southeast Asian. There are many players, but not many players are making profit. So I think there has got to be a structural consolidation of the industry. But it's easier said than done.
Yeah. So Petronas has had a three-pronged strategy. One you've talked about, which is the importance of cash generation. And both crises have highlighted that. The second is a lot of it is around LNG and chemicals. But the third is what you've sort of pointed towards, which is stepping out, what the company will be like in the future. What kind of businesses would Petronas grow into? And that gets to that larger question of, you know, what does the energy transition actually mean? And very interested in what you're thinking about this and how these pieces fit together.
I think like all companies, all of our peers, we think a lot about what's going to happen in the future. And to me, this high grading our portfolio is so important going forward. So like then, like you mentioned, we focus on cash generation. We focus on extending our current value chain. And the last strategy is what we call internally as stepping out, doing things that are not traditional to us. So we have decided on a few things. I think the first one is on renewables. So we have invested and will continue to invest in renewables. And in this part of the world, you know, we cannot run away from solar.
Right.
So we have acquired a company in India, and we are now roughly around about 500 megawatts of capacity, and we will continue to invest.
As a generator.
As a generator. Yeah, and this one, predominantly in India, it is to supply industrial users. Right. So, you know, all the big names. So this is more on rooftop generation. So, and we will continue to do that. We have some assets in Malaysia as well. But renewables is one area that we will allocate CAPEX. This year, we've allocated around about 7% of our CAPEX in this space. The other area that we are looking for and would like to invest more is on specialty chemicals. So no doubt we have been a very, a pet chem player in this part of the world, but I think our exposure in specialty chemicals is quite limited today. So this is one area that we are investing in. We acquired a company, Da Vinci, and this is on silicones. They are in the silicon business, and that is our first move into this specialty chemical space.
Right. And is that business in Malaysia?
It is a global business, but they have got one manufacturing site in Malaysia.
So what do you, I mean, as you look at solar and the falling cost of solar, what do you see as its role for the future?
You know, my view has always been the in the long run, the energy demand will increase. And I think for energy companies like us, I think our obligation to the markets is to develop all forms of energy. You know, oil and gas, you know, there's a strong perception about being the not so clean industry, but we take the view that all forms of energy will have to be developed to meet demand. And when it comes to oil and gas, I think the issue is on emission. Yeah, I think so that's why technology is important to address the issue of emission. But we are not saying that it will not be required. It will be required because, as I mentioned before, in all our scenarios, you know, it is still a very dominant contributor to the energy mix.
So what do you see about, carbon capture? Clearly, Malaysia, where it's located, the nature of vegetation, so forth, has real capabilities there. And it always seems to me that, or often seems to me that carbon capture and its importance is really underestimated.
Yes, I agree. And I think this is one area companies like us should really be more aggressive in. You know, this nature-based solutions is indeed will play a very significant role going forward. And then, as you said, you know, in Malaysia, we've got lots of land that are still green, and you know, that's one part where we intend to be more active in as well. This nature-based solutions.
And in terms of oil and gas technologies for the future as part of the energy transition. Are there new areas in technology you're looking at from the oil and gas side?
Yeah, a lot revolves around digital.
Right.
So we've got initiatives that we call Field of the Future. So, but these are pockets of digital applications that we are testing out on a pilot scale. And, you know, and so digital is one front. But on the carbon capture and utilization, that's another space that we are investing in. And also on hydrogen as well. Hydrogen is one area also that we are investing, but there is, for Petronas, I think a lot more work to be done in that space.
Right. You are in a part of the world where the highest growth will be. And so as you look at it, you really see the Petronas of the future will be an oil and gas company, but it'll be more than an oil and gas company.
Yeah, last year we celebrated our 45th anniversary last year. So, the leadership team and I thought it was an opportune time for us to revisit our vision and mission. So starting last year, we introduced a new statement of purpose. Only 12 words, only a string of 12 words, but you can imagine the amount of time we debated to come up with this.
I can imagine a huge amount of time.
And the debates and the high energy levels that so we came out with a statement of purpose, a progressive energy and solutions partner, enriching lives for a sustainable future. So that's our new statement of purpose. And I believe this string of 12 words will be the rallying call for Petronas as we look forward many years into the future.
So, and I imagine that it's a very important set of words for not only for your stakeholders outside the company, but very meaningful for the people working inside Petronas.
Definitely. I think, and when I joined the company many years ago, the demographics is very different. Today, 55% of our staff are below 35 years old, 55%. So, their priorities and their affiliations to many of these things, that we discuss are very different from 35 years ago. So I think this statement of purpose is really important to be a rallying call for our internal staff as well.
Right. Well, Juan Zol, I want to congratulate you both on the statement of purpose, on the celebration of 45 years, on your own 37 years in Petronas and what you've accomplished. And we appreciate this discussion about dealing with crises, adapting to the future, being a very central part of the biggest growth market in the world, Asia, and for thinking about what energy companies of the future will be. So thank you very much for joining us. And we certainly wish you the best as you take on your new responsibilities. And again, many congratulations on what you've achieved.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. I'll be retiring from Petronas at the end of this month, after 37 fulfilling years.
Right.
So I'd like to extend my gratitude and appreciation to Dan, IHS Market, and the CERAWE community, as well as to all our industry partners and consumers. Thank you for the support. Thank you for the trust and friendship throughout my tenure as president and group CEO. And until we meet again, I wish all of you the very best and stay safe. Thank you very much.
We've been talking with Juan Zol, who is the CEO of Petronas and soon to be the chairman of Malaysia Airlines. Thank you for joining us on the CERAWE Conversation.